Morrison, Reel 4.
Did you make that film?
Oh, yes, I was most relieved. Yes, I did go out. Well, yes, I did. I was too thankful to think that it was over. Not that you could do anything very much, but I remember being sort of jammed up against the steps of the National Gallery. And once you were there, you couldn't move. And it was pretty dangerous to try to move. But a lot of people flocked to the palace, stood outside and shouted, and it was extraordinary, really.
Were there speeches, or was it just throngs going to and
fro? Oh, yes, just throngs. No, not speeches, no. Just throngs of people cheering, waving flags, standing up on the top of buses, because in those days the buses weren't closed in on the top.
Now, after the Zeppelin fell, and you realized just then, at that time, your change of feelings. So what did you do about that when it came next day and it was time for you?
Oh, well, of course, I had to go. Had conversations and talks with some very nice people. Very kind and nice to me. And we talked about it, and I explained that I was in a major difficulty. I don't have a thing that we used to call a slop bowl. At least I don't have it down here. And she talked with me. You've turned it off. You don't want me to go on at the moment. I'll tell you in a minute. Oh. I'll try to remember exactly what happened.
Right.
But of course, I couldn't just walk out. That would have been indecent. I explained to this matron woman that I was going to have to leave. And then I think I spoke to my commanding officer, whatever she was called.
Did you tell them why, or did you just say...
No, I said why, and that I couldn't go on. Well, of course, naturally, they tried to persuade me. But there was no contract or any reason why I couldn't just go.
Were you paid, or were you
along? Oh, no, I was paid. I don't remember what. Yes, I think that... I don't think I went on with it for more than about a few days. And, of course, there were plenty of people, really, only too willing to do it. Plenty of trained people, I mean, who were more or less standing around. So that's really all that happened, and then I was a bit at a loss. And it was then that I... had some conversations with Dr. Orchard of Kingsway.
How did you know about him?
Well, I'd gone to his church. He was a Congregationalist minister, and Kingsway is in Binney Street, still there, off Oxford Street. It isn't the Kingsway that Dr. Soper is... Methodist minister are. And I thought he was a very fine preacher. I liked him very much indeed. And in maybe he influenced me a bit because he was a pacifist. Anyway, we had a lot of talks and he was very helpful to me.
Did he put you in contact with any pacifist groups?
No, and really I don't think there were any. The No More War movement, which came into existence after the First World War, I don't think there were any. The No More War movement, I don't think, had any women in it, but Harold Bing would have told you about the No More War movement, I expect, didn't he?
The No Conscription Fellowship.
Oh, the No Conscription Fellowship, yes.
Yes. Women couldn't actually be full members because they couldn't go to prison.
No.
As conscientious objectors.
Yes.
But they did help out in the background. When all the men were away, they carried on.
Yes, yes.
But you hadn't heard of them?
No, I hadn't. No, I hadn't. And I really didn't, had no idea until much later that there were so many people who wanted to be in groups. And I was very surprised when I discovered how many there were. I had one school friend who's, the man she was engaged to be married to was a conscientious objector. And she had a very hard time, really, because people did disapprove of it. They thought it was terrible.
Can you remember his name?
I can remember hers. I can't remember his, no. No, I know that she married him, and I ought to be able to, eventually, to remember what her married name was, but I lost touch with her. No, I mean, he might be still alive. I suppose it's rather remarkable that there are so many of us still alive, is it? You've been in touch with quite a few, I expect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fenner, of course, says he's not a pacifist, but there's a difference between having a conscientious objection to a war and being a complete objector to all wars. And this, I think, is rather noticeable in the United States recently. There were people who didn't want to fight in Vietnam, but who would have fought in another kind of war. I think that was Fenner's position, really.
And how do you fit into that?
I don't fit into it. I'm against taking part in any war at all. I'm quite sure that wars don't settle anything. I was invited recently to take part in a phone-in on the ITV on Sundays. They have a thing called Answer Back. And not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I was asked if I would be willing to ask a question, because a Dominican priest was going to speak on violence. I had no idea they did things in this extraordinary way, but I agreed to do this. And so they rang me when it was my time for the question, and I had listened to four other people before they called me in. And they had asked a question, and then they'd been allowed a supplementary, so I knew I'd got to be pretty brief, or I thought I knew. Instead of which, they let me go on. They must have been fascinated with the debate, I suppose, because they let me go on. And my question was that, in view of the teachings of Jesus Christ, did he not think Christians should all be pacifists? That's my question. Well, he had quite an argument with me, quite a long discussion, most extraordinary. Why am I telling you this, I wonder? Was something you said that I meant to tell you this? One of the things he said was about the Nazis. See, it doesn't matter what age you are nowadays, this is the one thing that people can't get over. What could you do with the Nazis but fight them? And when I explained, as I've already explained to you, that I'm quite sure that he'd never have been a Hitler, and as we did fight him, look at the things that happened. to Czechoslovakia, to Poland. Dreadful things that happened as a consequence. And I must say, he was very good-natured, this priest. He was quite young. He said that was quite true. I didn't seem to have an answer to it. I think I must have been telling you for that purpose. I can't remember now why I was telling you. It was all very surprising. I was sitting here in this room, and I could see him on my TV, which they had asked me to turn it down. They asked me to turn it down because I could hear his answer on the telephone. And I could see him, and I couldn't believe he couldn't see me. It's extraordinary. But I do get, I must be on a list somewhere. I do get asked to do things occasionally of that kind. But this is the difference, I think, that we didn't have anything so terrible as Hitler. So the people who went to war with the Kaiser, they had to build him up that the Kaiser was as bad, was a madman. And I think you have to get people worked up before you can go to war. And the position I'm in is certainly different from Fenebrockway's. He reserves the right to go to the barricades, you see. I don't think it's the right way at all to settle anything. I asked him a question on that he was on one occasion. What was it now? I know there was a phone in, and I asked him a question about the Spanish Civil War, because this is what he says, you had to fight in the Spanish Civil War, and I said, he said he had to fight, but the wrong side won, didn't it? And this seems to me to be no sort of an argument to say you had to fight, because you can't be sure you're going to win. Hitler might have won, we might be under him now. It's such a gamble, and a gamble with human lives. So that's why I'm a pacifist, and I haven't really looked back at all, ever.
Did you spend much time thinking about it?
Oh, yes, and
during
reading.
The war?
Yes, yes. Yes, I did. I must have thought about it quite a lot, because I was always had this uncomfortable feeling that the Germans couldn't all be wicked, and that it wasn't right for us to be breaking their shop windows and behaving in so.
Did you ever see any of those riots against Germans?
Oh, the communists, you mean the Mosley ones? Oh, no, before that. No, then the First World War. No, I don't think I did, though I have seen them windows broken. I didn't know anybody. I've known people since. I have some friends whose parents were, what do you call it, nationalized, but they had a German name, and though they're all elderly women now, they still remember, the four of them, that they were attacked even by their neighbours, their windows were broken. That kind of thing. It's incredible that people should behave like that. They knew them, they knew perfectly well they hadn't done any harm.
You were thinking about this. Did you talk to anybody else about it? You had one friend whose husband was a CEO.
Yes, I talked with her about it. Of course.
Did she agree with you and her husband?
I think she had been obliged to be sympathetic to her. He was her fiancé then. But she came to believe in him. Yes, I talked with her, and I suppose I must have had arguments with quite a lot of people, because I'm a bit of an arguer. I like a good argument and quite enjoy it. So I dare say I did. I don't think I was... I don't think I was upset or put down by people. I was quite sure. It was rather extraordinary looking back on it, but I think I was quite sure I was right. Because if I hadn't been sure, I would have hesitated quite a long time, probably, but I didn't hesitate. Suddenly it came over me that this was not for me.
Did you know any conscientious objectors or pacifists before that, before you saw
Zeppelin? No, I didn't, no.
What did you think of them? You must have read about them.
Oh, yes. Well, I think I wasn't unsympathetic to it. So probably I was veering towards it. I think I did understand. Anyway, I'd always had a feeling, and still have, that you have to take it that most people are sincere. And I therefore think that all these people who believe in it are just as sincere as I am. I just hope they may eventually be persuaded. But I don't have any feeling that there's any sin or wrong in them. They sincerely believe this is the right thing. I'm sure they do. I mean, this Dominican priest who debated with me, he was quite sincere in thinking that capital punishment should be restored and that people should be punished.